Today we're looking at the topic, missing everyday peace. As I said, let me pray for us once again as we come to this topic now. Well, Lord God Almighty, we again thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your peace. As we come to this topic now, as we come to this passage in Luke chapter 2, and as we dive into, once again, exploring the beauty of your life and your story amongst us, we pray and ask that you would enlighten us, that you would open our hearts and minds to the reality of your word. May you speak to each and every one of us here today and speak into our unique circumstances, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, obviously, we've been in this series titled Missing Peace, and it's all about rediscovering the love, joy, and peace that only Jesus can bring to our lives. Amen? That's what Christmas is all about. This is what this series has been all about. And as we know, Christmas is very much all about peace. I mean, this word peace is everywhere this time of year, isn't it? On our Christmas decorations, in the Bible passages that we read out, in the shop fronts or the windows of shop, in the shop's windows, the shop fronts. Peace is all the rage this time of year. But as we come to this topic, missing everyday peace, and as we narrow in on the Christmas story once again, it must be asked, with all the extraordinary events that take place in this story and these events surrounding the birth of our Messiah and Savior Jesus Christ, how exactly does the Christmas story help us find peace, particularly with our daily demands, within our daily lives? I mean, if, again, we narrow into this Christmas story, it can be very hard to relate to, can't it? I mean, there's angels talking to shepherds. And we had a kids' talk earlier that we were going to do today, but obviously no kids here today that talked about that part of the story. They're all on holidays, obviously, overseas, enjoying themselves, no doubt. My kids and family are in, well, we're in Penrith last night and staying the night at my parents' last night. That's why they're not here. But we have angels, we have prophecies, we have stars in the sky, we have magi bringing strange gifts to Jesus. It's very hard to relate to, particularly within everyday life. So again, how exactly, or what exactly, from the story of Jesus entering into our existence can help us find peace for our daily lives. And as we've been exploring, peace is, or the biblical meaning for peace is much more than the absence of conflict, isn't it? As we've been exploring. The word peace actually means wholeness, completeness. It's all about restoration. It's the word used to talk about our relationship with God. Jesus coming into the world and dying on the cross in our place has brought peace with God and humanity. But if we look at, again, at the life of Jesus, particularly those moments after all of these events occur, the angels in the sky, the magi arriving to bear gifts, what we see is that there are elements of his life that weren't all that spectacular, weren't there? Especially his upbringing. And this makes him actually quite relatable just about to anyone from any background and any walk of life. One of the key things we see after the Magi come, the wise men as they're known, Joseph, after they leave, is given straight away a dream to flee to Egypt. Because as we look in the book of Matthew in particular, where this account occurs, we see that the Magi, on their journey to Jesus, come through Jerusalem, and there is King Herod waiting to greet them, waiting to meet with them. King Herod's a insecure man, and he's worried that Jesus, this Messiah, this king that the world ultimately been talking about, is going to overthrow him as king. And so he tricks the Magi into letting them tell him where Jesus is once they arrive to meet and bear their gifts to them in the dream. Do not go back to Jerusalem. But King Herod wants Jesus dead, because he was threatened, because he again thinks that Jesus was going to overthrow him as king. And with all this happening in the background, Jesus and his family, Mary and Joseph, they pick up their young boy and flee to Egypt. Yes, Jesus was a refugee. We miss that part of the Christmas story, don't we? Moments after the Magi here, they arrive, they flee to Egypt. he becomes a refugee, and he's able to relate to those today escaping persecution, escaping death. And just as we think the Christmas story starts to be settling down a little bit, chaos ensues once again, and they flee King Herod. And this just reveals once again that this story of Jesus Christ, our Messiah, isn't as spectacular as we may think. It's actually quite unspectacular, isn't it? Because he actually lives quite an ordinary life. It's not one filled with perfection and the fairy tale existence that we sometimes think in terms of him growing up in a castle and being a prince of this world and ruling from there. That's not what we see. We actually see a man who is able to relate to every single one of us. Even after this event, when they eventually returned from Egypt, which is again where we pick up the story in Luke chapter 2, we again see that Jesus continues to live an ordinary life. He grew up in a godly yet poor family. His hometown was in Nazareth, which was a rural area where people fished or farmed to make ends meet to support and to bring up their families. He studied the law like all growing Jewish boys his age. He would have worked in the community. He would eventually learn the family trade of carpentry. Again, there was nothing spectacular about the life that he led. Obviously, it was clear from this passage, though, that he was no ordinary boy. And again, we get a glimpse of that in this story of Luke chapter 2, when Jesus travels to Jerusalem for the Passover festival with his family, his relatives, and his friends. And there's actually been much speculation and much fascination about Jesus' early years, because there's not much to go by, is there? There's really only this account in the book of Luke as to how we understand what Jesus' life was like when he grew up. And there's other books out there like the Gospel of Thomas, which aren't in our canon of Scripture, and there's good reason for that. They describe this unrealistic, uncharacteristic story or stories of Jesus bringing clay birds to life, raising people from the dead at a young age. But what we see in this passage of Luke chapter 2 is actually a quite realistic, a quite relatable, ordinary account of Jesus' growing years. And we don't know exactly what happened in this story, but the text again tells us that somehow Jesus is separated from his family, his friends, in Jerusalem when they have traveled for the Passover festival. And clearly they traveled with great numbers of people because they assumed that Jesus was with one of their family members, one of their friends. Obviously a bit more relaxed parenting in those days, obviously. But that's what they did. That's how they did life. It was the community, wasn't it? It was all about the community, something that we've removed ourselves from, I believe, in our society, in Western society today. But after a while, after a day of traveling, it took them a day to realize that Jesus was actually missing. And I want you to put yourselves in Mary and Joseph's shoes for just a moment. Can you imagine the anxiety, the worry, the concern after traveling for a whole day to realize that your firstborn son is no longer with you? You know, Kelly and I had that experience only recently, and it's a very scary one, let me tell you. We were actually at the beach a little while ago. Move this out of the way so I don't trip over it. Earlier this year, we were at the beach with Kel's side of the family. And we got down there at Watermola, and there was this body of water that the kids were playing in, and we set up our stuff, and we assumed that Jacob was with Kel's brother and playing with the other kids. And after a while, we realized that Jake wasn't with them. We didn't have a clue where he was. And I can tell you, I've never been filled with so much anxiety and panic, being at the beach with so many people, not knowing where your four-year-old son is. And we were running around trying to find him. I actually, worst case scenario, thought he was at the bottom of this body of water. So I'm in this body of water trying to find him, see where he is. Thankfully, he was found by another mother. He had wandered off. And we were embarrassed, obviously, but thankful to God that he was okay. So I can relate to this circumstance. But that was a matter of minutes, maybe 5 or so minutes in total that we're looking for Jake. Mary and Joseph were looking for their son for 3 whole days. Can you imagine again the concern, the worry? the stress, the anxiety once again of not being able to find your son in one of the busiest cities, it must be said, of their time, Jerusalem. And then after 3 days of searching, of looking, worrying, and experiencing the complete opposite of peace that we've been talking about, they eventually find young Jesus sitting at the feet of the teachers of the law, looking, learning, listening, absorbing their every word, and even asking questions of these teachers. And it's in this account, this story, that I believe that we are given the secret or the key once again that unlocks peace for our everyday lives. Peace that we can experience even in the most troubling of circumstances, the most difficult of circumstances. The key that unlocks the peace for our daily hardships. For in this moment, whilst living an ordinary life, a very unspectacular life, it must be said, we see this 12-year-old boy behave in a way that we wouldn't expect other 12-year-old boys to behave. And whilst Jesus' life was unspectacular, Jesus himself demonstrates that he is spectacular. Amen? He is spectacular. For in the midst of this mother's and father's pain and anxiety, in the midst of their sheer worry and concern for their baby boy, Jesus responds to their question in verse 48 by saying, "Why were you searching for me? Did you know I had to be in my father's house?" Jesus' first words in the gospel reveal to us that he knew from a very young age the unique relationship that he shared with God, his Father. And for him, it's like, where else would you find me? Where else would I be but in here, my Father's house? Mary and Joseph, as the text tells us, can't quite grasp the significance of this moment, but they cannot grasp as well the significance of the words he has just spoken. But we read that Mary treasured this memory in her heart, as well as all the other years of Jesus's growing years. The realization that this boy was no ordinary boy, despite this boy living ultimately an ordinary, unspectacular life. But again, here is the key in this story to be able to unlock everyday peace for our everyday lives. And it's in the reality of Jesus understanding his position as son and God as his father. He is able to identify with God as his father, relate to God as his father. For again, if we go back to the original question, what does this story or the life of Jesus ultimately reveal to us about how we can experience everyday peace? It's in identifying with God as our Heavenly Father. Understandably, Mary and Joseph were anxious to find their lost son. But in contrast, this lost son, Jesus, knew exactly where he was, safe in the arms of his Father in his Father's house. Have a think about it in your life, or those who have kids, or those who have seen kids in circumstances where they're scared, they're worried, they're afraid, who do they run to? Their father or their mother. And they run there to receive security, don't they? Comfort, peace. We, as followers of Jesus, when we are worried, when we're concerned, when we're frustrated, when life does its thing to us, we need to get in the habit of running to our Father and identifying with God as our Father. Amen. That is the place that we experience true, everlasting, everyday peace. So with this in mind, what challenges are you currently facing? What stresses are you currently dealing with? Again, the key to unlocking peace in the midst of all that is by turning to your Heavenly Father. Seeing him in that light, placing your wholehearted trust and dependence upon him. The Apostle Paul knew this. In fact, he actually wrote these words in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Easier said than done. Amen. But not if we do this. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the result is the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, the moment that Mary and Joseph found their son, obviously they would have been filled with that peace, but more so when they realized who this son truly was. Amen. This peace is a gift from God. One of the greatest gifts that we can experience in life. It's not a new, brand new car or a brand new whatever that we're going to get at Christmas time. It's this peace that only He can provide us with. A peace that transcends all understanding. And Temper Longman writes that this peace is not simply what individuals might experience in their soul, but it is something that should reign over the whole community. It keeps minds from becoming hardened towards God, blinded and outwitted by Satan, so that in every thought it remains captive to Christ. It keeps hearts from losing heart, so that they do not stray from purity and sincere devotion to Christ. Amen. And I again experience this reality with our other son, Malachi. Children make you worry sometimes. I think you're worried about them from day they're born until the day you go, I guess. But again, Malachi had us worried last month. He was quite unwell and it seemed like a flu, but he was quite lethargic. He wasn't eating. What made the situation worse was that he had these nosebleeds continually happening. We've since realized that that's pretty normal for that age. But my head automatically went to worst case scenario. And I was overwhelmed with anxiety as a result of thinking about the worst case scenario. And there was other areas in my life where I felt the anxiety welling up inside me. And I felt God just say to me on this particular day where I was spending time with Him, do you not trust me? Do you not trust me with His life, but also your life? Even if it is the worst case scenario, do you not trust that I have it? You know, the moment that I relented and just submitted the whole situation to Him, I was overwhelmed with a sense of peace. A peace that transcended all understanding. Because you see, God does care, amen? He cares about each and every one of our unique challenges and situations that we face, but all He desires is that we come to Him so that He can bless us with the peace, the comfort, the strength to walk and navigate this life, which can be so hard at times. It is a gift, a beautiful gift that God desires to give each and every one of us. And you know, the beautiful thing was that we did take him to the doctors, Malachi, and he was fine. She actually said the words, he's a beautifully healthy young boy. Just had a bug. I was worried about nothing. Sometimes we do that. But we need to come to God knowing and realizing that our loving Heavenly Father is in control of this world and in control of our lives. Amen? And we just need to run to His safe, secure, sovereign arms to receive that peace, to navigate the challenges, the stresses that we find ourselves going through in life. Christmas is a special time of year. It really is, and this is a spectacular Christmas story that we read, but the reality of this story shows us, the reality of this text and the life teachings of Jesus Christ is that God uses the ordinary to make us, to mold us, to mature us, to grow us. Amen. He doesn't use the spectacular, but He uses the ordinary so that when the spectacular events come, that we are able to turn to Him. When those out of the ordinary events come, those challenges, those hardships, we can run to Him for comfort, for security, for peace. And the question is, as we enter into a new year, what rhythms can we adopt into our lives in order that within the ordinary, everyday existence of our life, what can we adopt in order that when we come to those times in our life that are so hard, that automatically we can place our trust in Him? Evidently, they're rhythms of secrecy and solitude, spending time in God's Word, prayer, fasting, all this reveals a dependence upon Him so that when we do come to those times which can turn can lead us to feel as though he doesn't care or that he's not there. We can automatically run to him and receive that blessing of peace that only he can provide. For ultimately, it is Jesus, this unspectacular yet spectacular man, that we are brought into relationship with God our Father. And like Jesus, we can grow in trusting God every day. And we do this by incorporating these rhythms into our life, amen. Incorporate them into our lives. And as we do that, we'll see the roots of peace starting to be established in our lives and within our heart. Again, so that when we come to these tough times, these challenges, we are able to place our wholehearted trust and dependence upon God our Father, so that we may grow in these times and do so ultimately by experiencing the peace of God that transcends all understanding. One of the most incredible things that Jesus would ever say as we finish up here today is found in John 14, verse 27. This is what it says, the New Living Translation. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we do reflect on this word here today, as we reflect on your life, which evidently wasn't all that spectacular in terms of what the life that you lived, but we know, Lord God, that you are a spectacular God that we ought to worship, that you are worth worshiping. And so, Father God, as we reflect on this idea of peace, the peace that only you can provide, my prayer is that each and every one of us here would come to a place where we can run to you, where we can turn to you in the troublesome times, in the difficulties, the hardships of life. Lord, help us to develop these rhythms within our everyday life so that when these times come, that we can turn to you in order to experience that peace, that comfort, that strength to navigate some of the difficult times we have in life. Lord, thank you for this season, what it brings. It is such a beautiful time of year. But within that, help us and remind us of the importance of, again, developing these rhythms into our everyday life once this season has come and gone. Thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your peace. I thank you for the love that you have for each and every person here today and online with us here today, but also their unique lives and everything that goes on within them. So Lord, bless us, speak to us, continue to do a work in our lives and mature us, grow us in the ordinary so that we can turn to you in the unordinary aspects of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.